from 1 Kings in chapter 2, beginning with verse 10, then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned was Israel was over 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Israel. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. And from chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you've chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you've not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. We embrace this passage of Scripture that reminds us and tells us, maybe for the first time, of the gift of wisdom that God placed upon Solomon. When I think of wisdom, there are certain people that come to mind. Don't we all have examples of those who contributed to our journey, who we see as wise souls? I think of my grandmother, who lived many years and raised 14 kids. You pick up a lot of wisdom along the way, putting up with their shenanigans, right? And grandmother was the type of person that it seemed others just resonated and wanted to be around. I remember my mama telling me that she learned how to make chicken and dressing by going and being with grandbuddy. You know, chicken and dressing is not something, Deborah, you can just look in a recipe book and do, right? There's certain things in life to learn how to embody and practice that. You have to do it. And you know, I think wisdom is one of those such things. Wisdom is not simply head knowledge as much as perhaps it is heart knowledge. In fact, the 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon said this about wisdom. He said, "Wisdom is the right use of knowledge." He goes on to say, "To know, to have intellect, is not to be wise. He said, many people know a great deal and are greater fools for it. That's Spurgeon's words, not mine. He said, there's no fool so great as a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. So what I hear Spurgeon saying there is wisdom is the gift of knowing how to apply our intellect. Or use the gifts that we have, or our training, or our abilities. It's preparing how we take action in the right time, in the right places, with what God has gifted us with. That is wisdom. What a gift for our world. And as we consider this gift of wisdom, we also consider not only what is wisdom, but where does wisdom come from? Wisdom indeed is not by accident. It is a gift of God's Holy Spirit for His people. That's how Solomon received wisdom. This morning we hear where he asked for understanding. That was the simple request of Solomon. And God said, I'm going to give you even more than understanding. I'm going to give you more, my servant, than head knowledge, understanding. I'm going to give you the heart knowledge of wisdom, of knowing how and when to apply your head knowledge. It's a gift from God. Scripture tells us this about wisdom. In Psalm 49, the psalmist says, my mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. You see how the psalmist is also saying to us that wisdom is something we exude. Wisdom is not simple understanding that we keep within ourselves, but it pours forth from us. It's what we share with others to enrich their life as well. You know, I think of the Magi, those who Scripture also call wise men. Many of us know that story. The Scripture tells us that as they came from the east is over here, right? As they came from the east, they saw those who were scribes in the holy city. And they asked the scribes to tell them the story. And what I find interesting, friends, is that the scribes knew the stories. They had the head knowledge that a Savior was to come. But the scribes, unlike the Magi, didn't have the heart knowledge, the wisdom to apply what they knew. You see, God gifts us not only with intellect, but when we trust Him more fervently, He also graces us with the wisdom of knowing how to apply our faith, our intellect, and our gifts for His glory for the world around us. So yes, wisdom is a gift. And yes, wisdom comes from God. But you know, as I think of this passage of Scripture that speaks to us about Solomon's wisdom, I think there's another message here. That this Scripture is telling us not only is Solomon a man of wisdom, but Solomon, dear church, is a man first and foremost of worship. You see, I think there's no accident that as God gifts Solomon with supreme wisdom, saying there will be no one with his understanding and wisdom throughout the earth, that it was upon this great gift that Solomon worshiped and rejoiced in his Lord all the more. You see, that's where Solomon is. When he receives this gift, he's gone to Gibeon. He's been intentional in his worship. He's gotten up and he's gone to church, folk. He's made an effort to practice his faith. There's an intentionality in Solomon. You know, we don't believe in a works righteousness, that we're made right by God in what we do. But there is fruit from our action. There is fruit when we practice our faith. And there is fruit when we apply more what we know from our head through our heart and to the world around us. That, my friends, is wisdom. Solomon, being a man of worship, at the end of his life, the wisest man our world has known, this is the word that Solomon said. He said, now here's the end of the matter. All that's been heard, beyond all the riches that I have and all the power that I have, here's the conclusion of the matter. What we're really about is fearing God, worshiping God, and obeying His commandments, walking in His ways. You see, Solomon is saying, in my wisdom, the smartest thing I can do is to be a person of worship. Is he saying the beginning of our understanding, our ability to function in this world, to deal with our problems, our challenges, our stresses, the beginning of our understanding and intellect is rooted in worship, in going to the house of God, in counting our blessings, in rejoicing in God our Savior? I think that is the truth. And I don't think it's an example that even Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she first heard the news that she was to mother the Christ child, faced with all the challenges and adversities, Mary's response was this: I will magnify the Lord. I will rejoice in God my Savior. It's no accident that God, our Heavenly Father, called Mary, one who was filled with a heart of worship, to nurture and teach His Son and our Savior. And you see, Jesus learned from Mary. In Luke chapter 2, we hear these words. You remember where Jesus stayed behind in the temple? And Mary and Joseph had gone a day. And then they had to travel back a day. And they spent this time looking for Jesus. And when they found Him, He said, I must be in my Father's home. But then the Scripture ends by telling us this: from that day forward, Jesus went, was obedient to them, and the child continued to grow in wisdom and in stature. You see, that's what Mary taught our Savior, our Lord. Friend, wisdom is at the heart of our faith, and worship is at the heart of wisdom. I'm convinced we become wiser when we go like Solomon to the house of the Lord, when we bring our problems here, when we realize we don't have the strength in ourselves to deal with whatever adversity we're facing as a family, as a church, as a company, as individuals. We need God's strength. But if we, like Mary, will embrace the call of the Spirit to magnify the Lord. Have you ever thought about that word, magnify? You know, when you're driving down the road, some of us have those side view mirrors, and they have a little message written on the side of them. Have you ever noticed that? Some of them say something like this: objects in mirror are closer than they appear, right? Because what they do, that's the opposite of magnification. That's shrinkification, isn't it? It makes it smaller. And when it does that, it says you'll see more. But magnification works right the opposite. When we magnify something, everything else becomes smaller. We see it less. And what we magnify becomes greater and central in our vision. Friends, what if we will truly embody the nature of Mary, the mother of Jesus, of Solomon, the wisest man our world has ever known, and center ourselves on magnifying God? what God is doing, can do, and yearns to do for each of us when we place Him central in our life. That, friends, begins with worship. That's what happens when we go to the effort to intentionally come into the house of God on Sunday morning. This is the beginning and end of our faith. It's rooted in worship. And you know why else I believe that? I believe Solomon in his wisdom understood the importance of worship because, friends, hear the gift of worship too. As Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, I will magnify the Lord. Or in other words, I will worship the Lord. You know what? Mary followed that by saying, I will rejoice in the Lord. Her message to me is the same as it was to her son Jesus. Her message to us, Mary, the great teacher, the wise one of our Savior, said this: when we worship, hear it with me, church, we are more joy-filled. Isn't that what she meant? When she says, I magnify the Lord and I rejoice in God my Savior. I don't rejoice in the things of this world. I don't find hope in the fleeting happiness that life offers. No true joy that transcends happiness. True joy that is happiness on steroids is joy that's rooted only in our God, foundationally in worshiping Him. That's the gift of worship. It gives us joy. But worship also gives us understanding in the spirit of Solomon. And worship, dear church, does this. Worship is powerful. It was Stephen. Stephen, the evangelist of the New Testament. Stephen, one who was a man filled with wisdom and worship when he was faced with persecution, had strength from God to face his attackers. Friends, there is strength in worship. There is joy in worship. And finally, I want to say to you today, in worship, there is hope. Many of us heard this week of the American pastor Andrew Brunson that's been a prisoner in Turkey for over 2 years. He just this week had his sentence to continue. And in response to this debilitating fate that's upon him, being separated from his family, being persecuted, living in poverty, and probably at times hunger, Brunson gave glory even then to God. In other words, it was in his worship that he had hope that God would see him through and on to victory. My dear church, my dear friends of faith, may we together embrace the wisdom of Solomon and daily, fervently, religiously be people of worship who go into the house of the Lord and proclaim, thanks be to God and glory to His name. Amen. Let's respond.